Joy of being here today. It's always a joy to come to Lindsay Lane, but especially on a day when you're celebrating 25 years, and I'm so honored to be here. Thank you out of my heart. I love and admire this church, and I have great admiration for your pastor. What a precious man of God he is. I was watching him while he was making all those announcements, and I was thinking, I hope when I grow up, I can be just like that. I just love old people. I don't know why I do. Sometimes those of us that are old say funny things. Have you ever noticed that? Now, we don't mean to say funny things. We just say funny things. I heard about this old guy the other day who went to see his doctor to have a medical exam, and he checked him out, and he said, "Well, Bob, you look like you're feeling good. Your blood pressure's fine, and your cholesterol's just good, and you just really seem to be good for your age." He said, "How's your mind?" "Oh," he said, "Doctor, my mind's sharp as a tack." He says, "As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I have a photographic memory. Do you think that's possible, doctor?" And the doctor said, "Well, Bob, you know, you might have a photographic memory, but after being your doctor for all these years, it's obvious to me you don't have any film in your camera." And I'm not sure I have any film in my camera, but I hope you'll listen carefully to the message today. I was so moved when watching these folks come and give testimonies with those cards about what happened in their life. And I thought, my heavens, it'd take a big card to describe what happened in my life. On a scale of 1 to 10 on wickedness, I would have been a 15 plus. I was a wicked person, but God's grace overshadowed that. And perhaps today there's somebody like that in this service. And so I want to read for you a passage of Scripture about what happens sometimes when you have the opportunity to be saved. Luke 14, and I want to begin reading with verse 15. Luke chapter 14, verse number 15. When you find it, please, I want you to notice verse 15, and then I'll read a portion of the story. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 15. Verse number 15 actually is not a part of the parable that we're going to read. But I want to read it because it gives you the setting of the parable and will help you understand why Jesus said what he said. So let's look at verse number 15 and then we'll read the story. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now that tells us that the story that Jesus is about to give us is about the kingdom of God. It's about going to heaven and being saved. We're going to read about a man who made a supper and invited his neighbors to come and eat with him. But the bigger story is about being saved. So remember, as we read this story, it's about the kingdom of God, being saved, going to heaven. And we begin, therefore, with verse 16. "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now here was a man that made a great supper and invited all of his neighbors to eat with him. He sent the servant out and said, "The master's made a great meal. Would you come and eat?" And at the appointed hour when they were to come, every one of them began to make excuse. Now, as I said to you in the beginning, this is a parable about being saved. So here's what that means. That means that when men and women and boys and girls are invited to be saved, they invariably tend to make excuse. See, there's somebody in this building right here today, some man or some woman, some little boy, girl, a teenager. And when this invitation is given in a few moments, God's going to ask you to walk down this aisle and to be saved. He's already called your name. He's already got you under his sight. And when this invitation is given, he's going to urge you to walk down one of these aisles and to respond. But already, you're beginning to say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to walk down that aisle because." And then you're going to give an excuse or an alibi, just like these people in the Bible did. Now, why and how do people give excuses? What do you say when God speaks to your heart and you don't want to do it? Well, let me give you some ideas of what people say sometimes. Somebody right here today in this building is going to say one of these things. "Brother Hill, I'm not going to walk down that aisle because I wouldn't know what to say. What would I say if I walked down that aisle? I'd be afraid to walk down that aisle." You know, Pastor, one of the things I've discovered as I travel around the country today, a lot of people are intimidated by the language of the church. Now, that's probably always been true, but it's particularly true today with a culture that doesn't understand theological terms. And a lot of people are really frightened by the language of the church. They don't know the terminology. I was in a meeting up in Nashville not long ago, and after the service, a woman came to me crying. She said, "Brother Hill, I enjoyed the sermon today, and when the invitation was given, I felt a strange tug at my heart. I felt like I needed to go forward." And I said, "Well, ma'am, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you go forward and do what God impressed you to do?" And Pastor, I never will forget, she looked at me with that strange look. She said, "Well, preacher, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do." And it occurred to me that here was a woman who had heard God speak to her heart, wanted to be saved, but was intimidated by the language of the church. And a lot of people like that. A lot of people who say, "If I walk down that aisle, they may ask me to name the books of the Bible." No, they're not going to ask you to name the books of the Bible. I was in a church the other day, Brother Dusty, to show you how language hinders people. And the pastor was up trying to exhort the people. And I don't think he realized what he was saying. He said, "I wonder how many of you here are totally depraved. Would you like the vicarious atonement of Jesus' propitiation applied to your depravity?" And I said, "Huh? I'm a seminary graduate. I don't know if I understood what that meant." And there are lots of people who go to church, hear a sermon, their hearts are moved, but they're afraid. So let me set your heart at ease. Is there somebody here today that's never been saved or never done the will of God and you'd like to do that today? Here's what I want to ask you to do when the invitation is given. Just walk right down this aisle, take Brother Dusty by the hand and say these five words: "I want to be saved. I want to be saved." So now don't let the devil tell you that you don't know what to say. I just told you what to say. I want to be saved. The devil's going to tell somebody else, "You don't want to walk down that aisle because you're not a bad person. You never have killed anybody. You never robbed a bank. You don't do drugs. You're not into sexual immorality. Well, look, you'll go to heaven when you die. You're not a bad person." I told you a moment ago that I'd been preaching for 58 years. And when I started preaching all those years ago, you could stop anybody on a street corner in any city in America, just about, particularly the South. You could stop anybody on the street corner 50, 60 years ago and ask them this question. Are you saved? If you died today, do you think you would go to heaven? Brother Dusty, they would have responded overwhelmingly in one of two ways. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. That's essentially what they'd have said 60 years ago. Today, if you ask an average person on the street corner of America, are you saved? Here's what they're likely to say. Saved? Well, what do you mean saved? I'm not lost. And if I am, what business is that to you? You see, right before our very eyes, ladies and gentlemen, we've grown up a generation of men and women who frankly don't believe they're guilty about anything. Everybody's good and all's right and everybody's going to heaven and don't worry about it. God loves everybody and it's all going to work out good. That's the day in which we live. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that's not what God says. God is emphatically clear that there are just two kinds of people in the world. Now listen very carefully. Two kinds. We make classifications of a lot of different people. We call them rich, poor, young, old, black, white, educated, uneducated, high, low. We classify people in many different ways. God doesn't do that. God just has two categories of people. And everybody in this building today is in one of those categories. Now let me read them to you and see which one of those categories you're in. Just two. Here's what Jesus said. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now listen. He that believeth on him, that is on Jesus, is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, there are just two classifications. Those that have believed and are not condemned. Those that have not believed and are condemned already. We're not saved because we're good and we're not lost because we're bad. We're saved because Jesus is good. And we're lost because we reject the mercy that he died for us on the cross. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line, and I want to ask you a question. Has there been a time in your life where you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I believe you died on the cross for me, and I believe you love me and want to save me, and I believe in you and I trust you? Have you had a time where that happened? If you have, you're not condemned. If it has never happened, you're condemned already. Not going to be condemned, you're condemned already under the judgment of a holy God because you've not believed in the name, only begotten Son of God. Somebody else is going to say, I'm not going to walk down that aisle because I've done something I don't believe God will forgive me of. You know, Pastor, I meet a lot of people like that. I've been trying to witness to a man for quite a while who's not saved. He's a veteran of the Vietnam conflict. And I try to visit him periodically. I was somewhere the other day coming home from a meeting and drove by his house and felt impressed to stop. And I went in his house and once again tried to talk to him. I said, Kerry, I've been praying for you and I've had you on my heart. Don't you want to be saved? And here's what he said. I've heard him say it so many times. It's always the same thing. Brother Junior, I don't believe God would save me. I've been too bad. I didn't question him. I suspect that he's talking about atrocities in the war in Vietnam, how he killed people and blew up people. I didn't ask him about that. But he said, I don't believe God could ever save somebody like me. You know, there are a lot of people like that. I had a woman come to me the other day after I'd preached this sermon. She said, Brother Hill, I'd like to be saved, but I don't believe God would save anybody like me. She said, I've been married three times. And she held up her fingers like that and put those three fingers right up in front of my face. She said, I've been married three times. And I'm living with a man right now who's not my husband. I don't believe God would save anybody like that. I said, well, ma'am, I got some good news for you. There was a woman in the Bible who met Jesus at a well who had been married five times and was living with a man who wasn't her husband when Jesus met her, and he saved her. Amen. I said, it looks to me like you got about two more to go yet. And God will say, folks, aren't you grateful to God? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Oh, listen to me, dear friend. There's nothing you could say, nothing you could do, nothing you could think, nothing you could be a part of. There's nothing you could ever do that would cause God not to love you and to save you if you'll come to Him. Don't let the devil deceive you into believing you're too bad. That's the kind of people Jesus came to save. The devil's going to tell somebody else, you don't want to walk down that aisle, you're too old. You know, sometimes people think they've waited too long, get old like Brother Dusty. They think, well, I've waited too long. I was over at First Baptist Church of Arab, Alabama, a couple of years ago, and I was preaching that morning, and I noticed this guy in the back of the building when I was preaching, who was sitting on the very end of the pew on the back row, and I could tell he was a very old guy. And when the invitation was given, he stepped out into the aisle and he started down to the front. And he was making little baby steps about like this right here, just barely moving, but coming forward. And I stand there in the pulpit watching him come forward. And I thought, Lord, we're going to be eating lunch before he gets down here. He's not going to make it. But Brother Dustin, he just kept right on moving, just little bitty baby steps. And finally, after all of the people had come, he finally made it down there, and the pastor said, how old are you, sir? He said, I'm 96 years old. 96. I thought of you, Dusty, when he said that. 96 years old. And I watched the pastor lead him to Jesus. And that night, a couple of men helped him down into the baptistry, and I watched him get baptized. 96. Aren't you grateful to God you don't ever get too old to get saved? Sometimes people think they're too young. I know we have some little boys and girls here this morning and teenagers over here. And boy, it's so wonderful to see all these teenagers sitting down close to the front. That really blesses me, kids. I appreciate that. Most places I go, kids are sitting in the back of the church talking, and these are sitting at the front talking, and that's so encouraging. No, you kids are listening. I appreciate that. But I want all of you little boys and little girls, listen up to me very carefully now, seriously, all you little children, and all you teenagers sitting with your mamas and daddies, I want you to hear me very carefully. I want to tell you something very, very important. The best time in your life ever to be saved is while you're young. Now, that's not something I decided or said. That's what God said. Here's what God said. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. See, God knows as you get older, those evil days are going to come upon you. And that's why he said, before those evil days come, remember God. A little boy wrote Billy Graham a letter the other day. It appeared in the Decatur Daily. Some of you perhaps get the Daily. And I cut it out because I wanted to remember it when I preach. So I want you to listen to what this little boy wrote Billy Graham. Dear Dr. Graham, how old do you have to be before you can be saved? I am 8 years old, and I want to be sure I'll go to heaven when I die. Am I too young to believe in Jesus? Is there a little boy, a little girl here this morning maybe thinking in your heart, am I too young to be saved? Can I be saved? Can I go to heaven? Listen to what that wonderful man of God said to that little boy. No, young boy, young son, you're not too young to give your heart to Jesus. And I hope you'll do so because it's the most important step you will ever take. One reason you aren't too young is because you're old enough to know when you do things you shouldn't do. That's what sin is. That is the first step in coming to Jesus. But you also aren't too young to come to Jesus because you can understand that He loves you. He even came down from heaven and died for you on the cross. Now He offers you salvation as a free gift if you'll only believe it and accept it. Aren't you grateful that little boys and girls can be saved? Isn't it wonderful that little children can come to Jesus when their hearts are young and tender? And that's why I want to say to you boys and girls sitting here with your mamas and your daddies today, it's the best time you'll ever have to be saved. But I want to add a little bit further word. I want you to listen. Not only is it the best time, but it's the most dangerous time. You say, now, brother, preacher, what are you talking about? What do you mean it's the most dangerous time? Well, listen very carefully to me. Dr. James Dobson, Focus on the Family, recently released a very startling statistic. Dr. Dobson said, based upon the best studies that we have concluded that those that are not saved by the time they're 18 years old, almost 90% of them are never saved. Now let me say that again. Dr. Dobson said, studies have shown that those that are not saved by about the age of 18, about 90% of them are never saved. Does that mean God won't save you when you get old? I've just tried to labor the point that He'll save you regardless of how old you are. But the truth is, something happens to you as you get old. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. I was reminded of it 2 weeks ago when I was driving over to Gadsden. I went by a little church on the side of the road outside of Cullman on my way to Gadsden. And as I drove by that little church, I remembered so clearly being there a year or so ago. And that night I preached on a Monday night. And when the invitation was given, there were probably four or five little boys and girls who came forward. They looked like they were probably 7, 8, like a little boy baptized this morning maybe. And they were so excited. They wanted to be saved. And the pastor talked to them. And I stand down talking to them. And this woman walked through the line, and she was crying. She said, Brother Hill, I wonder if I could speak to you a minute. We sat down on the front pew, and she began to weep uncontrollably. She said, Preacher, when I saw those little boys standing there tonight, it made me so sad. It just upset me so bad. I just couldn't help but cry. I said, Well, ma'am, don't you believe little boys and girls can get saved? She said, That's not what upset me. She said, what upset me was that when I saw those little boys, I thought about my boy. She said, Brother Junior, about 30 years ago in this same church where you and I are sitting tonight, I came out of my Sunday school class one morning, sat down in the auditorium where I usually sit. My little boy came, sat down by my side. And he said, Mama, I've been thinking about it for a while. And Mama, I believe I'd like to be saved. I feel like God's been talking to my heart. And Mama, if you don't mind, when the preacher gives the invitation this morning, I'd like to go forward and be saved. She said, Brother Junior, I don't know why I said this. I'm so ashamed that I said it. But she said, before I realized what I was saying, I turned to him and said, Son, I don't believe I'd go today. You're just a little boy. You got a long time to think about. Why don't you wait, son? And she just began to sob openly. She said, Brother Junior, that's been over 30 years ago, and my boy has never mentioned it again. He never goes to church, never talks about God, has no interest in Jesus. She said, I wish that it had been my little boy. Little boy, would you like to be saved? Little girl, would you like to be saved? I have some wonderful news for you. Jesus loves you. And He'll save you today if you'll come to Him. Thank God you're never too young if you want to be saved. The devil's going to tell somebody else, you don't want to walk down that aisle. You're saved. You just hadn't been baptized. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. I don't think you got to be baptized to go to heaven. Aren't you grateful that it's the blood of Jesus that saves you from your sin? So don't go out of here and tell folks Brother Hill said if you weren't baptized like these people here were this morning, you're not saved. No, that's not true. But it is true that when you are saved, God expects you to be baptized, commanded you to be baptized, and you need to be baptized when you are saved. I believe when you love somebody, you're proud of them, aren't you? Aren't you husbands here today proud of your wives? Aren't you men here today proud of your wives? It's too late, man. Some of you women got some serious problems. You don't realize you got problems with that. Well, if you love somebody, you're proud of them. How many times you ever had a man walk up to you and say, I'd like to introduce you to my wife. Isn't she ugly? You ever had a man say that? I bet he hadn't said it but one time in his life, and just one. No, when you love somebody, you're proud. You're proud. You teenage boys over here. Now listen to me, fellas. All you teenage boys sitting over here. Son, what if you's the ugliest boy in school? Now, I certainly am not implying that any of you boys here today are the ugliest ones in school. But did you ever stop to think somebody's got to be the ugliest? So it might be you. And suppose you got your eye on the prettiest girl in school. You said, boy, I'd like to go out with her, but she'd never go out with me. I'm so ugly. But one day you got up enough courage to call her on the phone. And you said, hey, this ugliest boy in school calling. Would you go out with me? And to your astonishment, she says, yes, I will. Now, fellas, are you telling me that you wouldn't want anybody to know that? You wouldn't tell anybody that? Why, son, you'd run up a $1,000 bill on your cell phone calling everybody North America. You'd send so many text messages, you'd have to have a finger transplant. Hey, I'm ugly, but I got a girl. But you know, Brother Dusty, as sad as it is, I meet hundreds of people around the country who say they're saved and have never been baptized. I don't know that that's true here. I haven't asked your pastor. He may not even know who that is. But I would imagine that in this building right here today, there's several of you who have been saved, but you've never been baptized for whatever the reason. You know in your heart that you've trusted Jesus. There was a time where by faith you asked him to come into your heart, but you've never been baptized. Now, I want to ask you a question. Why haven't you been baptized? If Jesus told you to get baptized and Jesus himself was baptized, and if he gave the disciples that final command, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them, if all of that is true, then I ask you, why have you not been baptized? I would imagine there's a teenager here that's been saved in a youth retreat, maybe a little boy or girl saved in a vacation Bible school or a children's worship. A man or woman that's been saved somewhere in the past, but you've never been baptized. You know what you ought to do when this invitation is given? You ought to get up. You ought to step in this aisle and walk right down here to the front and say, Pastor, I've been saved and I'm not ashamed of Jesus and I want to be baptized. I've been reading through the Gospels recently. And you know when you read the Bible, you see something that you've read 100 times, but it never speaks to you quite that way. And I've read this scripture, I would suspect, 20 or 30 times. But here's what it says, and it just really moved my spirit when I read it. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before the Father in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, I don't know all that that means, But I'm going to tell you this. If Jesus said, I would confess you before my Father if you will confess me, I'm going to do all I can to confess him. And I believe there's some of you sitting right here today in this building and you've never been baptized. You ought to get up when this invitation is given. You ought to walk right down here to the front, take Brother Dusty by the hand and say, Pastor, I've been saved. I want to be baptized. Now, I want to say one other word before we close. I want you to listen very carefully. Not only should a person be baptized, but they should be baptized in the proper place. You say, now, Brother Junior, what are you talking about, the proper place? You mean up here in the baptismal pool where these were baptized this morning? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about location. I'm talking about spiritual position. Now, listen very carefully. In the Bible, here's where people were baptized. They heard the Word of God. They were saved. And then they were baptized. That is always the divine order. Heard the Word of God. Saved. Baptized. Now, here is how a lot of people do it. They get baptized. They hear the Word of God. And then they're saved. And then when they're saved, they look back and they say, well, I've already been baptized back there in the past. But you can't be biblically baptized till first of all, you've been saved. I was up at Providence, Rhode Island a couple of years ago, little bitty Baptist church. And they had a praise band that was leading the singing. And they had a young boy there, looked like he's about 18, who was playing the guitar. And I preached essentially this sermon that I'm preaching to you this morning. And when the invitation was over, this young boy came up to me. He said, Preacher, I want to ask you a question. He said, I was baptized according to my parents when I was a little baby. I grew up as an Episcopalian, and my mom and daddy tell me that they had me baptized when I was a little baby. But he said, when I was about 16, I heard a preacher, and I believed and was saved. I really believe I was saved when I was 16. He said, should I be baptized again? I said, well, son, let me ask you two questions. Did you know Jesus when you got baptized as a little baby? He said, well, I don't remember that. How could I know Jesus? I said, do you know Jesus now? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, you just need to get baptized because you know Jesus. And you know, I believe I'm talking to somebody right here today like that, Brother Dusty. I'm going to tell you what happened to you if you'll be honest with me. I'm going to tell you now. You listen. Way back there, somewhere in your past, when you was a little boy or a little girl, you went to a vacation Bible school. And when the preacher gave the decision sermon, all your little buddies went forward, and you wanted to be one of them. And so you just stepped over in that line, and you walked forward and said to the pastor, I want to be baptized like Bill and Sue and Mary and Jim and Joe. Meant nothing to you. But you grew up, and you got under the anointed preaching of a godly pastor like Dr. Dusty, and you heard the gospel, and you were saved. But you're still clinging to a baptism that happened before you ever got saved. I had such a sweet email last week from my granddaughter who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. Katie and her husband are part-time staff members on one of the large churches at the Charlotte area. And she wrote me this letter. And I have a hard time even telling you this because it touched my heart so much. Katie wrote and said, Pawpaw, I'm writing to tell you and grandmother that something wonderful has happened in my heart. She said, all of these years, I've never really felt peace in my heart about my salvation and my baptism. I've always been troubled. And she said, every time I'd go to a service and a preacher would preach something about it, I would be troubled and upset. And she said, Paul, I'm writing to tell you that I've settled that in my heart, like several testified in the baptistry this morning. And I'm going to be baptized in the right way next week. You know, I thought, how many people are there like little sweet Katie, who made some kind of decision that wasn't real and it didn't satisfy them and hadn't brought them peace? But now in their heart, they know that Jesus is Lord of their lives, but they're still clinging to a baptism that happened before they were ever saved. I believe there are 4, 5, 10, 15 people here this morning need to get up. You need to walk down this aisle, take Brother Dusty by the hand, just say simply these words, "I'm saved, but I don't believe I was saved when I was baptized. I want a real believer's baptism." I believe there are several of you that need to come. You say, what would people think? Heaven's sake, what does it matter what people think? All that matters is what Jesus thinks. And I'm going to ask you to come. I believe there's several here this morning that need to come and just say, "I want to be baptized as a believer in Jesus." I grew up in a home that never went to church. My mom and dad never carried me to church. Brother Dusty, I was 13 years old before I ever went inside the walls of a church. I was one of the most wicked teenagers you could ever imagine. I'm not proud of that. I'm so embarrassed to tell you that. There are very few sins you could mention that I didn't commit as a teenage boy. I'm so ashamed of that. I grieve every time I think about it. But I was a reprobate of the first order. But when I was 17 years old, God saved me. And 2 years later, as a 19-year-old boy, the Lord called me to be a preacher. And the very first sermon I ever preached, God saved my mama and my daddy and my sister. But I had an older brother who was the oldest member of our family. I'm the youngest. My brother's the oldest. And he came to hear me preach my first revival. And I'll never forget that night in that little bitty country church when I got up to preach, gave the invitation. I could see my brother sitting back there in the back crying. And I knew God had spoken to his heart. And I prayed, "Lord, help him come. Please help him come tonight." But he wouldn't come. He just stood back there and cried. After the service, he and I were talking. I said, "Leon, I saw you crying tonight. Did God speak to you? Did you feel like you needed to be saved?" He said, "Junior, I did. God really talked to my heart tonight, and I need to be saved." And I said, "Well, why don't you just let us right now bow and you can ask Jesus to save you?" "No, I don't want to do that right now, but I'm going to be saved. I promise you, I'm going to be saved." But what he didn't know and what I didn't know and nobody else knew, 6 months later, my brother's going to be standing with a fishing pole in his hand one warm November morning. And just like that, my brother just topples over in the water. Dead. 34 years old, in the prime of his life. He wasn't an unhealthy person. He was a 34-year-old healthy young adult. And 1 minute he's alive, 1 minute he's dead. I don't like to say this, but today while I'm standing here in this wonderful church in Athens, my brother is very likely in hell. Why is he there? He made excuse. He said what somebody in this building is about to say. "I will do it later." Don't say it, little boy, girl, mama, dad, teenage. Don't say it. Say, "I'll do it right now." And when this invitation is given, just get up. Just step boldly here to the front and say, "Brother Dusty, God's spoken to me today. I want to be saved," or "I want to be baptized." Whatever God's telling you to do, I want to ask you to come. Would you bow your head just a moment, please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I believe that there are several people in this building that need to come. God has spoken to you about coming to be saved, or maybe He's calling you to be baptized, maybe as a believer like my daughter, granddaughter Katie. And I believe that there are numbers of you all over this building that would like to come. Maybe some little boy or girl, like that little boy that wrote Billy Graham, and you say, I'd like to be saved. Well, just come. Just say, Mama, I want to go. Daddy, I want to go. And your parents will walk down the aisle with you if you want to come. Teenagers, some of you need to come. Some of you need that believer's baptism that we talked about. There's some man or woman, boy or girl here today. God's calling you, speaking to you right now. I want to ask you to get up and come. Father, to the best of my knowledge, I've tried to tell these people what you wanted me to tell them. I've spoken to their ears. Lord, only you can speak to their hearts. And Lord, as we sing this song, would you draw somebody to walk down this aisle? Help somebody to come forward and obey your call today. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. I wonder if you'd be one of those that'll come this morning. Would you do it? Just step out and make your way quickly right now.